language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
I'm the server! That's a pen!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
This is the only line of the world. Late Hits.
ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Charles Carter making his late hits debut on the other side of the glass on the tweet at Charles3_onair. That's going to be a mouthful to spit out every time. We got to condense that, Mr. Carter.
Yeah. I got a lot of flack for it. You know what I mean? I've been thinking about it, but we'll see. I'm not that creative.
We got to condense that down. Take advantage of the Coach Carter and the Mr. Carter things and put them to your use.
I didn't want to be that guy. I liked it, but I didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, you could be that guy. You know what? Anything that draws a little bit of attention to make it easier for people to remember who you are, go for it. Because easy always wins. People inherently will choose the path of least resistance. So don't make it hard for them to find you. Make it easy for them to find you. If I could have just had the Twitter handle CR8, I would have done it.
Words from the wise. I appreciate it. I'll take it.
Ultimately, there are failures within the pro. It would not allow me to do that.
Yes. People already take them, yeah.
That would have been the easiest thing to do, right? Three letters. How can you get that wrong? No, that would have been nice and easy. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975 app, ESPN975.com. Tell Google, tell Alexa. Play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere that you go. You know you want to. You know, I have bad habits during the day. And one of those bad habits is I listen to sports radio. It's probably the same bad habit that all of you have. We listen to sports radio all day long. Sometimes it's background noise. Sometimes you're actively listening. But we all listen to it, mainly because, well, pretty much every music station in this city sucks. Like, there is no really good rock station, hard rock station, metal station. It doesn't exist. You know, if I want to hear the same 12 songs, I can go listen to The Eagle. They play the same 12 songs in order for like a week straight, and then they give me a new 12 songs that I get for like another week. I hate it. And I say this because that radio network, it's the same in every town. So like, as you drive up, like if you drive through Texas, like every major town has The Eagle. It's the same station, just on a different frequency in each town. And it's the same damn songs with the same people. So as you drive through Texas, through Louisiana, through Mississippi, it's the same damn station.
We need to go and make that like a radio trivia question for some people, the ones that still listen.
And it's like, hey, do you want to hear the same songs they're playing right now in Houston? Turn us on! It drives me crazy that we don't have any kind of a really good rock station or anything that plays like... Rod Ryan is actually a great host, but The Buzz itself does not play just rock and alternative. It plays a whole bunch of dog and poo and The Dog Left the Yard. And usually if I can get through two songs, they play something stupid. So,
but you hate that. You hate when there's great talent in horrible places.
I don't know if it's a horrible place, but I mean, because I think Rod Ryan's a terrific host. But I don't like the way that they format the station, in that there's just too much crap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, even on sports radio, sometimes there's a lot of crap. Right now, we're going through one of those things. I mean, let's be real. When it comes to the Super Bowl, oh, it's the Kelce Super Bowl. I don't give a flying rat's ass. None of those guys play for my team. No team that I root for is in the Super Bowl. The only thing I care about are my boxes and my props. I give ZFG about anything else about this game that involves two teams, one I don't care about and one I freaking hate. I hate the Eagles, of course. I mean, come on. But I don't have a vested interest in the Super Bowl. This is no different than, you know, week 8, except I'll eat more junk food, more snacks, and I'll be forced to listen to every former NFL player who's got some kind of item to hawk, trying to hawk whatever their wares are on Radio Row. Radio Row to me is the worst week of radio. It is everybody, oh, here, you want to try my CBDs? You want to try my water bottle? You want to try my can opener? You want to try my little blue pills for a little extra stiffness? Like, everybody's got something to sell. And all I really want you to do is tell me a story or two, something that's interesting. And I don't care about all the other crap. And I get it, you know, look, I'm hawking my wares because my company paid for me to be here. So that all right, but in a 12-minute interview, give me 30 seconds on your wares at the beginning and a minute on your wares at the end. In the middle, talk about stuff that people don't know about. Don't tell me the same story that I just heard you tell on three other stations. I already know that one. Tell me something new. Some of these guys been around long enough. They got enough stories they can recycle. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, Radio Row is almost like a Tuesday in Vegas on the Strip. Running around people trying to sell you the same thing that you just saw them sell somebody else. And it's like, I see that. It's going to break in about 2 seconds, that new wristband you just made.
Hey, I just sold this for $250, but I'll give it to you for $1.99.
My friend.
It's still the same POS that it was for the other guy. Yeah, I know this. We're also be super hype about the Super Bowl, and I super don't give a bleep because I'm watching another football game. Pat Mahomes is amazing. Jalen Hurts is amazing. Realistically, the Eagles have the best offensive line, the best defensive line. They will have the best wide receivers in this game. They'll have the best running back in this game. But the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who can single-handedly be Superman, even on one ankle. But as far as, like, who wins and who loses, I don't care. Just hit whatever my boxes come out to be. Patrick Mahomes, throw for the yardage that I need you to throw for. Right? Jalen Hurts, get enough touchdowns. Gatorade, be blue. You know, national anthem, hit the over. I don't care about the actual game itself. I will spend just as much time watching the commercials, which apparently have already leaked. I will spend just as much time doing that as I will watching the game, making pizza bagels, or if my daughter wants pizza rolls, because that's her thing, little hot dogs and blankets, because you can't buy the pre-made ones. You have to buy the little hot dogs and then buy the crescent rolls or the Hawaiian rolls, whatever, and then wrap them yourself. That's the only way to do it. You cannot buy the pre-packaged ones. They taste awful.
Really?
Yeah, you never buy prepackaged ones. They're terrible.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you, like, is it, okay, so you've eaten crawfish before, right?
I am not a big crawfish eater because my stomach does not necessarily appreciate spicy food the way my mouth does.
I see.
And I tend to rub my eyes in my face. So I love crawfish, like, in etouffee and a gumbo, but, like, not where I got to rip its head off. I have issues with food looking back at me.
I get that.
It's one of the reasons, like, if I'm having a lobster tail, lobster claw, but don't give me the whole lobster because it's looking at me like, I'm a lobster. Have a steak. You know, and I can't – it bothers me.
Okay, so the whole thing I was trying to get was, like, just doing the work to make it. Is it worth it? Is it worth the payoff? The payoff worth it?
It's not even work. I mean, the crescent rolls, like, when you take them out of the can, like, they peel out. You just rip a piece off, and you wrap it around the hot dog, and you stick it on the tray. It literally takes, like, 3 seconds per baby hot dog to do this.
But how many are you eating to, like, satisfy yourself?
I don't know. I just make the whole batch. What we eat, we eat. What we don't eat goes in the fridge, and it gets put in for another day.
Okay, makes sense. Makes sense. I overcomplicated it.
You know, it's like I'm not if it was a lot of work, I'd make my wife do it. I can lie. I was like, I'm not going to lie. Hey, honey. You know, because she's not going to watch the game. She doesn't care. She'll watch the commercials. She'll watch the halftime show. My wife does not like football at all because she says she doesn't understand football. And I said, what is there to understand? There's a ball. Get it in the end zone. Hit the crap out of the guy who's trying to score. That's all. So, but I don't understand why they run this way or that way. It doesn't matter. All that matters is you get it in the end zone and you get your head knocked off. The only two things that matter. So watch to see people get killed. I don't want to see people get killed. Not literally. I know, but, you know, that's... I stopped having that argument with her many, many years ago. So the Super Bowl in my house, basically, this year, it used to be, you know, the four of us. Now it's the three of us because my son's away at school. It'll be the three of us eating snacky foods. My wife and my daughter not paying attention at all. And me just looking for my boxes to come in and hit my props. That's it. On Super Bowl Sunday, I am a degenerate gambler. I don't gamble a whole lot, but it's the only way for me to keep interest in the game. Because again, two teams, ZFG. It's not like there's fantasy football points on the line. There's no bragging rights here. None of the teams that I root for are in here. Well, I'm a Giants fan. You know, I cover the Texans. So, I don't care.
Is this the least interesting Super Bowl you've ever seen for you?
No, it's not the least interesting. But there is no overriding, like, bleep you storyline. Like, you remember when the Super Bowl was here and it was the Patriots and the Falcons and the Patriots and Tom Brady and Roger Goodell, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
Over Deflategate, and it was like, you know, is Tom Brady going to stick it to Roger Goodell and make him hand him the Lombardi? You know, that was the best thing about that comeback was that Roger Goodell had to bite his lip and hand the Lombardi to a guy he just called a cheater. He had to bite his lip and suck it up and hand it to him, and it was like Tom Brady with the biggest middle finger of all time. I felt bad for Arthur Blank, who, by all accounts, is one of the good guy owners in the league. He flew every single member of the Falcons organization from the office staff to security to the secretaries to the ticket takers. He flew everybody here to watch them blow a 28-3 lead. And somehow convince them not to jump off the top of NRG Stadium. That's pretty impressive. That's a lot of work. So for the most part, a lot of the storylines that we're going to hear for the Super Bowl, I do not care. So locally, we'll probably get a lot of Texans stuff. And look, we're in the media. Our job is entertainment. Part of what that means is we have to create interesting angles and storylines and narratives and find different ways to present things. Like, hey, you know what? That's actually real. Or, hey, you know what? I never thought of that before. But what's happening is we're getting, hey, you know what? That's a load of crap. And I'm going to explain why next.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, Charles, a little PC trivia for you. This was the first full-length LP I ever had. Michael Jackson, Off the Wall. The very first one I ever
had. You serious?
Yeah. I was seven.
That's pretty cool.
As the first full-length piece of vinyl I ever had was that Michael Jackson Off the Wall.
Believe it or not, I'm actually trying to get a vinyl collection. And I have James Brown, The Payback. And I'm looking to get an Off the Wall vinyl for Michael Jackson.
I used to have about 3,700 vinyl records. They collected all the cover art and everything. When I moved from New York to Houston, in transit, somehow the majority of them melted.
What?
Got too hot wherever they stored them or in the truck, and they melted and fused together. The whole thing was destroyed.
And their original vinyls?
Yeah. I was less than pleased.
Pat, you could probably buy the station now for some of those vinyls that you probably had?
I had stuff going back to the early 60s through, about 1998. So, it was cover art. I had a lot of 10 inches and 8 inches. And, people are going to laugh because I use that terminology. But that's what it used to be, a single on a big record, yeah, with an 8 inch or a 10 inch. I know that people are going to, he said he had 10 inches.
Yeah.
But, I had, I used to have tons of 45s. I actually had 78s that I had collected out of my grandparents' basement. They had all these 78s. The 78s were thick. They were like Frisbee thick. And I had all of these records. I was the only person that ever, the only person in my family that really had a hi-fi system. For people who are old enough to remember what a hi-fi system is.
Yeah, I'm about to say, ooh, that's before my time.
You know? But it was, I had all, and it just, it all got, almost all of it got destroyed in the move. A lot of my stuff got destroyed in the move. I had a huge 65-inch projection television that I had bought in like 2003. And this thing was big enough, when I died, they could have buried me in it and then buried like 10 more people in it. And it was, it had a great picture. I used to play video games on it. It was perfect TV for like man cave type thing.
Yeah, those big plasmas. Yeah.
You could plug everything into the front. You didn't have to go behind the side. It was all right there in the front. Just plug it in and you could be on any device that you wanted. Somehow, some way got destroyed. My move down here, the company that I use, I would never, ever use again. Since I've been down here, whenever I needed to move, I've used a company called Optimus Moving. Those guys are awesome. They're priced well. They don't screw. Like, sometimes you call a company and they're like, yeah, it's like X dollars per hour. And they send three guys and they're, putzing around and whatnot. These guys come in, they're like, let's go, boom, boom, boom. Because they're like, hey, we could get another job in. So they hustled. It was much easier to deal with them. But moving definitely sucks. I don't recommend it. Not a lot of fun. Now, we're talking about, I'm not big for, it's the Super Bowl, man. I gotta talk everything Super Bowl. Let me tell you about, the entire Eagles practice squad, because I don't care. And chances are you don't care either. All you care about, same thing I care about, did our bets hit? Did my boxes hit? That's really only thing any of us in Houston give a damn about. So there'll be a lot of talk about the Texans because look, there's a lot of excitement about D'Amico Ryans being the new head coach. And there should be. There should be a lot of excitement about that. And there's a lot of excitement because they're going to pick second. They're going to pick 12th. But see, this is where some of that BS is creeping through my radio. The idea, the Texans are going to trade up to one because they don't want the Colts to trade up to one. No, they're not. This idea like, Bryce Young is the only guy to draft and C.J. Stroud stinks. Wrong. In fact, Young and Stroud have almost identical skill sets. One guy's a little smaller and a little better on the improvisation. The other guy's a little bigger, maybe a little better on the arm. But probably more athletic too. Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are both worthy of the number one pick. So if you wind up, instead of having your choice, because, thanks, Lovey, instead of having your choice of which guy you want, well, you'll have whichever guy isn't taking it too. It's not like a consolation prize. Like, oh, you got this guy. Both of those guys are worthy of the number one pick. So whether you wind up with Bryce Young or you wind up with C.J. Stroud, you wound up with 1A and 1A in the draft. They are the two best quarterbacks. I don't care what Jeremy Branham says about Will Levis because, I don't live on Bad Take Boulevard and he owns the whole damn street. All right, it's Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. It's been Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud all damn season. One of those guys might go number one, might not. One of those guys is definitely going number two. The idea the Texans are going to package up 2 and 12 or whatever else and push to go to one, to go one spot higher? How much freaking drugs are we smoking in this city? Does anybody think the Texans are in a position to be giving away draft picks? Do we not remember what not having draft picks looks like, Bill O'Brien, thank you? Do we not remember this? Only an idiot thinks the Texans are trading up from 2 to 1. A colossal idiot. Or somebody desperately trying to get you to click. Because, right, that's the whole game. Let's chase the clicks. Let me say something really stupid and get you to click. Guys say dumb stuff all the time. I'll say something that I know is totally wrong, just so that everybody will click and answer and respond. And that's fake radio. One thing I will never, ever give you on this station is fake radio. I will never throw out a BS take to, quote, get a reaction. I will never tell you stuff that I don't believe because clicks. And if that means, well, I don't get to be on an afternoon drive because I'm not fully you-know-what, I guess I'll live here at 7 to 9 or 8 to 9 when, Buzz Williams is done. I will never be the fraud personality who throws out total nonsense just for clout. I don't do it. That's not real. It's not honest. If you can't be, radio is the one medium where we actually interact with each other. When I do television, I just talk at you for 2.5 minutes. Right? TV sports, I talk at you for a couple minutes, but next segment. You know, now they're onto the weather, the traffic, the, whatever. When I write stuff at Gallery Sports, it's great, you know, because I can lay it out, explain everything in great detail, but only in radio could we have true, live, in-the-moment interaction between the Twitch stream, the text line, the phone number, 713-780-3776, by the way. It's the only medium where we get to know each other, learn about who we are, learn about our lives, kind of feel like we're almost like best friends. It's the only medium that allows that. And I'm not going to be full of crap in the one medium that allows that. I get it. Colin Cowherd talks out his behind for 1 hour a day. They play it 3 more times. Skip Bayless hasn't said something accurate in 22 years. I don't know what Stephen A. said today, but I guarantee you by Wednesday, he's saying the opposite. And I love Stephen A., but he does this all the time. You want some get off my lawn radio? Hey, Chris Russo's coming on tomorrow. It's the same tired BS nonsense, and I won't play it. I'll tell you what's real. And I want you guys to tell me what's real to you. Not a big fan of, let me just troll everything. There are certain people who deserve to be trolled because they're so freaking uptight about everything. And God forbid, they're not always right every single time or anybody disagrees with them. They lose their freaking minds. It's sports radio. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. There's plenty of games like, man, I can't believe this guy came through in the clutch. I can't believe this guy who shoots 12% from three nailed a dagger. I can't believe this guy hitting 186 hit a walk-off three-run homer. I can't believe this guy who dropped 6 passes in the game caught the game-winning touch. Like, there's always that moment. That's what makes sports amazing. It's the ultimate reality television. It is the ultimate unscripted ending. Unlike Joe Millionaire, which was the first reality show that I ever watched. The whole premise of the show was this: we're going to tell the girls this guy's a millionaire, but he's really a broke-ass construction worker making $24,000 a year. That lasted like 3 episodes until it came out the guy's last name was Marriott. Yeah, those Marriotts. and he was heir to a whole boatload of money, which helped explain his very steroided out chiseled physique. Because usually, if you make $24,000 a year, you are not built like a Greek god. You don't have the means. You got to get your ass to work. You can't eat the diet that's required to work out and look like that on $24,000 a year.
You can't. Oh, my goodness.
Hell no. Maybe on $24,000 a month, maybe. But and that was it. Because even, quote, reality television was totally fake. The only reality television that's real is sports. And that's what makes it amazing. So sometimes we're going to be wrong because, you know, on any given Sunday happens in every sport. Happens in baseball more than any other because, well, they got the most games. So it's okay to be wrong on games. It's okay to admit, hey, you know what? Got that one wrong. My logic might have been perfect, but you know what? Star pitcher didn't have his stuff and he got rocked in the first inning. Nobody saw that coming. It's okay. Nobody wants to listen to, oh, I'm always right, guy. Because I've got a huge bone in my backside. Every time I'm not right, I'm going to yell. It's one thing to yell and scream, you know, because you're passionate about what you're talking about. You have energy. It's another to yell because you're angry because you hate everything. Or I have to be right, so I'm going to over-yell somebody who's calling me out for being wrong. No, I'm loud because I'm from New York, okay?
There is a difference. I actually see it. There is a difference.
I'm loud because I'm from New York. This is how we are in New York. In New York, when I talk to my friends, we don't say, hey, what's up, Billy? What's up, Jim? What's up, a-hole? That's how we talk to each other. If I said that to somebody down here, they'd be horribly offended. If I go back home to Brooklyn and I look at my friend Jimmy and I said, what's up, Jimmy? So I'm like, dude, the hell's wrong with you? Because we don't call each other by our names. If you don't insult each other, you don't care. You only insult your friends. The people you don't like, hi, Jim. Hi, Steve. Because you don't want to interact with them. That's how they know. If you're just like, yeah, hey, Jim. You didn't call him a butthead or worse. That means you don't like him. Moving here has definitely been a culture shock environment for me. And it's 10 years later, and sometimes my culture shock still comes through.
Really?
Sometimes I use idioms and people just look at me like, what? Like they'd never heard that phrase before. And it's just, you know, I just got to get sometimes it still catches me off guard when people have a weird reaction to something that I say. Like, well, you've never heard somebody say that before? And they're like, no. Like, do you live in a box? Oh, wait. You live 14 states away. Yeah, you kind of do live in a box. That's how that works. But, yeah, I don't – this whole, oh, they're going to trade up. No, they're freaking not. Okay? And, oh, they'll take Will Levis. No, they're freaking not. So let's just stop all the shenanigans. And all the fake narratives and all the phony storylines and all the drama and all the, oh my goodness, what about this, that, or, you know, what is D'Amico going to do about taking an offensive guy? He's going to take a defensive guy. Shut up with the phony crap. These are things that make me want to punch my radio. And now that we don't have actual car radios, you'll have those like giant iPads in our car now that if you smash it, it's like $5,000 to replace it. I don't want to punch it. It's expensive. Yeah, but don't believe the BS, because that's all it is. All right, before we hit the break, I'll tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You guys know, man, I met Dr. Ben 3.5 years ago because I had a sinus infection every other month for 20 freaking years. I lived on antibiotics. I didn't even have to go to the doctor when I had a sinus infection. I'd call the doctor, hey, I have a sinus infection. No problem, we'll call a Z-Pack into the pharmacy. It was ready in an hour. I didn't even have to go. They knew, because that's how often I got it. Dr. Ben's the only doctor I've seen in two states over 20 years that wanted to know, why do you keep getting these? It seems like you have them way too often. Let's find out what the problem is instead of just, here's another Z-Pack. So he wanted to get a CT scan on me. And I'm like, all right, so what do I have to like go call another doctor? I said, nope, we're going to go three doors down the hall and bang a left. It took 5 minutes. 10 minutes later, the results are up on the board. We see what's going on. I had a procedure, and I had staph infection in my sinus, highly resistant to antibiotics. It never went away. It just ramped up and down. They had to surgically remove it to get it out. All those years of infection did massive damage to my sinus tissues. So they did a balloon sinuplasty. They fixed and removed all that damaged tissue. They cleaned up my airways so that I could breathe, opened up my airways. I could breathe better. Turned out I had a deviated septum. I had no idea I had a deviated septum. They fixed that too. 3.5 years later, not a single sinus infection. Hell, not even a sinus headache. Nothing. When was the last time you went 3.5 years without a sinus infection? Probably never, right? Yeah. Here's another funny thing about that. Now that my airways are open, I don't snore anymore. My kids used to call me the chainsaw. I snored so loud. They could hear me outside when I'm in my bedroom, second floor, door closed, windows closed, in my neighbor's backyard. I don't snore anymore. I sleep through the night. I wake up. I feel great. You know who else sleeps through the night? My wife, my dog, my kids, and probably my neighbors. You don't have to live with bad sinus issues. You don't have to live being a crazy snorer. All you got to do is call Dr. Ben Salento, make a consultation, tell him I sent you by 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Take a minute here for Dr. Jennifer Joseph. You can get Physical RX, physical therapy. You know, Dr. JJ, we call her. Her and her staff, they're awesome. They develop one-on-one care for their patients. They're going to listen to you. They're going to address and understand your needs. Develop a customized physical therapy service tailored specifically for you. How do I know? Because I've been a patient of Dr. JJ now for about a year. And she has made such a difference in my life. I would go through weeks where I couldn't turn my head at all. You know, when I first moved down to Houston, when I first got the call from the first station I worked to, you know, the Texans flagship, I was sitting in a neurologist's office when I got the call I was being hired. Doctor came in, they were going to recommend me for neck surgery. And I said, yeah, I'm moving to Houston. Like, painkillers? Painkillers. Painkillers are great, but they run out. The pain doesn't. And I would go weeks, wouldn't be able to turn my head. My neck would hurt so bad, I couldn't put my head on a pillow. Like, that's how bad it got. I couldn't lift my left arm over my shoulder. My arm would go numb for days. These were, like, legitimate problems. Like, I couldn't go outside and shoot hoops with my kids. Unless, you know, like I had to make a business decision. I couldn't go have a catch with my kids unless I made a business decision. I don't have the pain. I don't have the restriction in the range of motion. I don't have the numbness. In fact, I've gotten the strength back in my arm. I can move my arm all the way around. Like, I have no restriction and the pain is gone. I was able to go kayaking with my kids this summer instead of wondering, hey, can I lift my arm? If that doesn't change everything about your life, I don't know what does. So if you're dealing with, you know, loss of range of motion, loss of strength, loss of balance, let Dr. JJ help you get back to living your best life. Go see Dr. JJ. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Give her a call, 346-386-6683, 346-386-6683. Go to getphysicalrx.com, getphysicalrx.com. If you call on Wednesday at noon, I can tell you she'll be there because I'll be there. Okay, so as long as we're talking about, you know, stuff that we're not gonna get on the whole fake stuff. Here's something that I firmly believe is real: the Astros six-man rotation. That six-man rotation is here to stay. And even though Justin Verlander, you know, had to do the whole I'm going to bitch and whine and complain, the whole reason he was able to get through the whole season last year and pitch as well as he did is because he had an extra day of rest every turn. In fact, the Astros took off once they went to the six-man rotation. And the reason the six-man rotation was so important was because basically every pitcher not named Jake Odorizzi going into last season had a workload issue. Right? Fromber had never thrown 100 innings. Urquidy hadn't thrown a whole lot of innings. Javier certainly hadn't thrown a lot of innings. Verlander's coming back from Tommy John. Lance Colas Jr. is out for the first 4 months of the year. Having that extra day of rest helped keep everybody fresh. And one of the biggest reasons the Astros were able to go and win the World Series, they stayed healthy basically for the whole season. Verlander missed a couple of weeks, but basically their entire rotation stayed healthy. That is extremely unusual. Usually you need 10, 12 starting pitchers to get through a season. They got through almost with straight seven. That's because they traded Urizi at the deadline, so I counted him at seven. You look at this Astros coming in this year, they still have a lot of workload issues. Fromber went from a career-high 154 and a third innings to a career-high 226 and a third innings. That's a 72-inning bump-up. That's a massive increase. Remember the rule of 50. I've been telling you guys about this for as long as I've been in Houston. Rule of 50. When a pitcher throws more than 50 innings over their previous career high, they are at extended risk for decreased performance and injury. Example, how much did Luis García struggle in the middle of last season? Because all of a sudden, he threw 60-plus innings more in 2021 than he'd ever thrown in his life. Well, Framber's plus 72 from last year. Christian Javier went from 112 innings to 161 and a third. That's plus 50. Jose Urquidy went from 130 to 163. That's plus 37. And Urquidy had spent two trips on the IL the season before, on the IL the season before that, on the IL the season before that. And last season, Urquidy had some issues with maintaining velocity in the early innings for a stretch where he'd go from 95 to 91 in the first inning. Hunter Brown threw 30 more innings last season than he'd ever thrown before. That's four starters who all have innings workload management requirements. Lance McCullers Jr. went from a career-high 173 innings to only 63 because he missed 4 months of the season. That's minus 110. But because he only pitched for 2 months, and because he's Lance McCullers and you always have to watch his workload, he's on that list too. Basically, every starter the Astros have has a management requirement. But that management requirement is why they stay healthy and why they stay effective. And that's how you keep young starters from blowing out shoulders and blowing out elbows and getting dead arms that they try to pitch through and then injure themselves further. Most teams can't give you four competent starters, and the Astros can give you six. It was a massive advantage for them the entire 2022 season. It's going to be an advantage for them again in the 2023 season. You can bank on that. One more segment to go. Late hits.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Apparently when I have an energy drink in a one-hour show, I'm a little wired. And who knew? Who knew that was going to happen? Yeah, well, final segment. You know, last week we were talking with Kurt Heelan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, about the dysfunction of the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving just being a complete psychopath who ruins everything that he's a part of. All right, he ruined Cleveland. He ruined Boston. Here he is ruining the Nets. Everything that Kyrie touches turns to stone. And, like, the whole Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden, what did they play, 13 games together? It was 16 games, like a 13-3. That was the whole thing before KD got hurt and Kyrie ticked off Harden so bad, Harden was like, you know what, screw this, I'm out of here. And now KD's hurt again and Kyrie is like, hey, you know what, I know we're in like fourth place and, you know, we're 11 games over 500, but nah, you know what, screw you guys, I want out. Send me to the Lakers. Now, Kyrie, along with Kevin Durant, they walked in, they got a coach fired. They got young guys traded so that they could bring in, you know, their old washed-up friends. They got another coach fired. They each made trade demands, then retracted them. And they were on their third coach. They haven't won squat. And here's Jacques Vaughn, the Nets coach, asked about, did Kyrie let the team down?
Do you feel like he's letting the team down?
I'm not going to, you know, speculate what they think.
What do you think?
I think you have responsibility as a basketball player. Like I do as a coach. I show up. I do my job every single day. That's what I signed up for. That's my expectations for 1 through 17.
That is the politest way you will ever hear of, yeah, he didn't, screw that guy. And the story that Nets owner Joe Tsai told his general manager, you can trade Kyrie anywhere you want, but not the Lakers because that's where he wants to go. Freaking epic. Love it. Respect for Joe Tsai times 10,000. There are way too many entitled athletes in the world. And Kyrie is like the penultimate. Crazy, self-centered, overprivileged athlete. You know what? I'm upset about something in the world. I'm out of here for like a month. Screw my teammates. I know there's a pandemic going on and all my teammates have gotten a vaccine just to be on the safe side, but screw you guys. I'm not getting it and I guess I can't play. Oh, well. I know we had title hopes, but screw you guys. Yeah. That guy. The flat earther. Hey, you know what? I really want a contract extension, but I'm going to post some really offensive posts on my social media about, you know, horrific events like the Holocaust. I'm just going to post some really offensive stuff. And then I'm going to double down on it. And then I'm going to triple down on it until the team suspends me. And then, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that I was offending people, even though you told me three times and I doubled down every single time because screw all of you, I'm rich. Kyrie is the worst possible teammate. He's unreliable. Oh, that and he gets hurt every freaking year. So you don't know when he's going to get hurt. You don't know when he's going to have a mental break and need a month off. You don't know when he's bringing more negative publicity to your team because, well, he's a psychopath. Good luck, Dallas. Good luck. And the best part is, Dallas's point of view is, we just gave up all that to get him, but we're not going to give him an extension right away. And we got to see how this works. You know how this is going to work? You gave up those picks, those players, to rent Kyrie for half a season, and then he's going to flip you off, and he's going to go try to sign with the Lakers, who are the only team stupid enough and desperate enough to give him his four-year max because, well, they got to find a way to appease LeBron. And LeBron, as great a player as he is, going to go on to his age 39 season, stupid enough and desperate enough to run it back with Kyrie Irving as if he forgot what that was like before. Yeah. You know, when bad things happen to the Lakers, I don't usually shed a tear. And for as phony and as big a fraud as LeBron has made himself out to be, You know, LeBron has now reached the point where he's Tim Duncan. Every foul. Oh, my God, what do you mean? I didn't commit a foul. What are you, blind? Every time he commits a foul, loses his mind. Every time somebody gets within 5 feet of him, he's begging for a foul. It's LeBron James. Whining and crying every damn possession. It's embarrassing. Greatest player of his generation. And he's just a freaking whiner. I don't feel bad when things don't go LeBron's way. Not at all. And the fact that the entire NBA world had to have a meltdown because LeBron was fouled at the end of a game and there wasn't a call. That happens every freaking day in the NBA. Why is it different? Oh, because he's LeBron James. So, you know, if Spencer Dinwiddie gets fouled, nobody cares. Right? If Robert Williams of the Celtics gets fouled, you know. If OG Anunoby gets fouled, nobody cares. And Alperen Şengün gets fouled. What? Who? LeBron gets fouled. Oh, my God, the officials, they suck so bad. It's ridiculous. We all know LeBron is a great player. We don't need to do this much pole polishing on LeBron all the time. We don't have to crush the referees because they missed something in the last 2 minutes on LeBron. They missed stuff in the last 2 minutes in every damn game all year long. Guaranteed. We know there's a last 2 minutes report. Have you ever seen a last 2 minutes report that didn't have at least three screw-ups? I don't even know if I've only had three screw-ups. But LeBron got fouled. Oh, my. LeBron got fouled. He's a player, just like every other player. And it doesn't matter what player is that gets fouled. If they miss it, they miss it. If they call it, they call it. It can't be a bigger deal. Oh, LeBron got fouled. That's a bigger deal than if, you know, Seth Curry gets fouled. Yeah, because he's just Seth Curry. I mean, a foul is a foul. And hell, there's a play in the Rockets game tonight where Jalen Green gets fouled. I mean, he's fouled. His arm is grabbed. Refs called it a clean strip from behind and ball going the other way. I mean, this wasn't even like an almost clean strip. This was from behind, grabbed the elbow. It's blatantly obvious. Other than Ben Dubose, I don't think anybody's screaming about it. I love you, Ben. I do. I love Ben. He's got passion. That dude bleeds Rocket Red. But the officials have never gotten a call right in Ben's eyes. It's kind of funny. Yeah, Kyrie is a nut job. It's going to probably break the Mavericks at the absolute worst time. But it's Dallas. And I don't care. It's going to do it for us for tonight. Appreciate our texters, tweeters, and twitchers. My man Charles Carter on the other side of the glass doing yeoman's work on his first night. We're back on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. You know we will have stuff to say. Till then, have a great night. H-Town!